Are you ready to hear the word this morning? Come on, are you ready to lean into the word? Did you bring your amen with you this morning? Come on, because we believe whenever we say amen, we get into agreement with the word. When we lean into the word and we get in agreement with the word, that's when the word of God begins to change our hearts and our lives. And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you do not have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen here. But, you know, just finishing up our series on the book of Acts, our React series, I believe that you are inspired. I believe that you're challenged. I believe that you're ready to take on everything that God has for you to take on. And that's why we entitled this series, It's a New Day. Because so many people were saying, man, it's a new day of faith. It's a new day for me to get involved. And that's what I'm believing for you. I'm believing that it's a new day for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your business, for your faith. I'm believing that it is a new day for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have not seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him, and you rejoice with the glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This morning, as we start our It's a New Day series, part one is going to be going the distance. Going the distance. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments, God, you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you want to communicate to us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen.
You know, we all have the same new beginning, don't we? We all have the same moment when our life goes from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. Salvation, communion with God through the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. It's so important that we understand that all of the new beginnings that follow start with the same new beginning. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, came to earth. He died not for you, but as you. He paid the price for every mistake any one of us would ever make. He paid the price for the sins of our forefathers. He paid the price for the sins of our children. And when we accept his sacrifice, we have an opportunity to live every day in communion with God. It's an incredible new beginning. But I think that sometimes we treat Christianity a little bit like a fairy tale. Now, I read a lot of fairy tales because I have a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. Now, the 1.5-year-old just wants to tear up the fairy tale books. But the 4-year-old wants us to read them ad nauseum. It is absolutely crazy how many things that have princess on them are in my house. Pray for me. I am the girl who didn't even like pink growing up. But this is the thing about fairy tales. Is that they have a new beginning, they meet the man, and they live happily ever after. See, fairy tales end with the new beginning. And I think that's what sometimes sets us up for disappointment in our marriages, is because it doesn't feel like happily ever after every moment of every day. working out relationships feels a little bit not as exciting as the new beginning, but it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. Because what really is of value comes after you've worked hard, after you've gone through struggle, after you've persevered. And the problem is that sometimes we can have the same view of Christianity. We can put so much emphasis on salvation that we forget that there's a whole life afterwards. See, it's called a new beginning, not a new ending. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. It's not just poof, you repent and everything's perfect. You go to heaven and live perfectly from that moment on. No, I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, wouldn't it be easier if as soon as people got saved, they just immediately were raptured to heaven? I thought that was a rather cute idea, but it would completely defeat the purpose. Because God wants communion with you today. God wants to know you today. See, salvation is free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But following Christ will cost you your entire life.
And in John chapter 3, Jesus begins to engage in conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish religious leader. And in John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, after dark one evening, Nicodemus came to speak with Jesus. He says, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, many people talk about Nicodemus coming in the dark, coming at night, and they draw it out that he was, you know, too ashamed to come in the day, and so he came at night. But I commend Nicodemus because at least he was willing to come. Even if it was dark, he was still willing to knock on the door. Even if he was trying to slip past other houses on his way, he was still willing to engage in conversation with Jesus. And he says this when he gets to Jesus. He says, God sent you to teach us. God sent you to teach us. And Jesus didn't even listen to that for a moment. Because Jesus says, no, God didn't send me here to teach you. God sent me here to transform you. There's a whole lot of difference between me teaching you a new theory, between me teaching you just a new lesson, but I didn't come to teach you. I came to transform you. And he tells Nicodemus, this isn't about you learning something. This is about you being born again. This is about you having a fresh start. This is about you having your new day. You see, Christianity has never been and never will be about behavior modification. Christianity is about heart transformation. And there is a big difference between those two. Nicodemus was right about one thing, and that is Jesus' miraculous signs were definitely evidence that God was with him. But Nicodemus was unaware of the greatest miracle of all, being born again. Being born again, stepping from death to life. There is no greater miracle in the world. Going in just a moment from lost to found by calling on the name of Jesus, by believing in the Son of God, by laying your life down, by taking the gift that he is giving you. There is no greater miracle in the world. Jesus continues on in that conversation with Nicodemus, and it gets to one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is what he's saying to Nicodemus, that God so loves you. This isn't about a lesson. This is about something greater than a lesson. This isn't a new theory. This goes beyond all that because God so loved you. And we know that so love is big love. Because God so loved you, he sent me so that you could have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Do you see this morning, because God's love is so great and because God's mercy is so great that he sent Jesus to die that you might live? He sent Jesus to die on the cross that you might experience true life. God wasn't condemning the world. He was rescuing the world because his mercy is so great. He was rescuing the world because his love is unconditional.
Let's read our scripture again in the Message version. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 8 in the Message. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it, proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out, proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing because you kept on believing you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. There's three things that come with a new day and help you go the distance. And the first is this, a new destination. A new destination. Because of Christ's sacrifice, our new destination is heaven. And that's something to be celebrated. The scripture tells us that it's true. Paul says it this way in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities. He doesn't say that the concept of or the possibility. He said the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were just saying, I just feel like I don't fit. Everybody else has a place, and I just really don't. And I said, well, let me let you in on the biggest secret of life. No one fits in. No one. No one has found their tribe. No one feels like they're exactly where they're supposed to be. We all have a slight discontent, or more than slight discontent, that we carry through life where we just feel like something's off. Anybody understand? I know I do. And it's because you weren't created for this world. You were created for heaven. You're trapped in this body that has limitations where you can't see and perceive, where hormones affect your emotions, which affect your decisions. And I'm not just talking to the people who have estrogen. We can find ourselves so limited and we feel like we just aren't where we're supposed to be. Good news, you aren't where you're supposed to be. You are on your way to where you are supposed to be. Heaven is your new destination. See, there's a lot of stops in life. You remember the game of life? There's a lot of stops in life. There's a lot of moments to celebrate. There's a lot of moments that you achieve, but there's only one destination. And when you're planning a trip that has a lot of stops, but only one destination, and you know you're going to be at that destination for a long time, it would not make sense to focus all of your energy on the stops along the way. Instead, you should constantly be looking past them to your final destination, preparing for the moment that you get to see Jesus. Yes, that's a sobering thought, but isn't it exciting too? To be able to be in heaven, and not only are we going to heaven, but in heaven we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. I don't really understand what that looks like, but I know what it tells me about heaven. See, if you have an inheritance somewhere, that means that you get to stay. That you're not just going as a happy visitor. You're going as a full citizen. You're going as one who belongs. Isn't that exciting? You know, isn't it wonderful to know that today you can make a choice to follow Jesus and suddenly you get a completely new destination? It's amazing. See, heaven isn't just some pie in the sky concept that keeps little kids in line and it keeps old ladies from being scared. That's not it. It's the core of Christianity. It's real, and it is our destination.
And it's an amazing thing that Jesus stepped out of this amazing destination, this place that we dream of, this place that we try to imagine in our finite minds, how wonderful heaven will be. And the fact that Jesus left the wonderful place of heaven to come down on this earth so that one day you could step from this earth to heaven. That is an amazing thing, that Jesus gave up heaven so that you could have heaven, that Jesus walked on this earth so that you wouldn't feel at home on this earth, that your heart would always be connected to heaven. And you see, that's why Jesus is worthy of praise today, because he was able to step out of the place that you dream of, the place that you think about all the time, and that he came to this earth so that you might one day have the opportunity to experience the eternal life that is only found in him. That's why he's a wonderful Savior. That's why we serve an amazing God. And because heaven and eternal life is our destination, it needs to be a focus in our lives. You are headed there. You are in transit. You are in process. And heaven needs to constantly be on our minds. And that new destination, it should give you the second thing that we want to share with you today. The new destination should give you a new direction. Because you have a new destination in heaven, you should have a new direction in this life. This is what it says in our scripture there in 1 Peter verses 6 and 7. It says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." You see, so much of our direction is determined by our thinking. I'll say that just one more time so it can hit your mind this morning. So much of our direction is determined by our thinking. That's why one of our favorite scriptures is Romans 12:2 here at North Point Community Church. We love this scripture. We talk about it a lot. It says this: "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." The NIV version says by the renewing of your mind. You see, God wants to change the way you think about your problems and about your possibilities. You see, you need to write that down right there. You need to write that down because you need to remind yourself this week that God wants to change the way that I think about my problems, and he wants to change the way that I think about my possibilities. Because here Peter is writing and he says, "I can tell you one thing, you might feel like you're in the fire and you might feel like it's the end, but what you need to know is that in the midst of your problem, God's not worried about what's around you. God's worried about what he's doing on the inside of you, and he's testing you like in fire, because just the way you put gold in the fire and it comes out more pure and it comes out the way it's supposed to be, that's exactly what God's doing in your life. When you feel the flames of the fire and you feel the test and you feel the trial, God's trying to purify the thing on the inside of you so that you'll look more like him and think more like him and talk more like him. And so you'll have a testimony that shouts to the world that says, I stepped into the fire and I came out of it more like Jesus." God wants to change the way that you think about your test, about your problems. You see, you come out of a trial one or two ways. You come out of a trial either saying, poor me, or you come out of your trial saying, praise him. It's the only two ways to respond to your trial. You either come out with your head down saying, poor me, I don't know why I had to go through that, this isn't fair. Or you come out of your trial with your head up saying, God, I praise you today because you brought me through the fire. I wouldn't have made it without you. I came today to give you praise and to give you glory because you are everything to me. It's the only two ways that you come out of a trial. But not only does God want to change the way you think about your problems, he wants to change the way you think about your possibilities. I had something happen this week, and somebody had gotten an opportunity to speak about something that they're very passionate about, that they're very concerned about. And it was kind of a last-minute thing, and there was going to be a little gathering of 50 or 60 people, and they were going to have the opportunity to just share part of their story, just 4 or 5 minutes of their story at this event. And so whenever I got there, and her and the husband were there, and I began to talk to her, she said, I'm so nervous, and she was like, I'm shaking, I don't want to do this. And man, I just started speaking to her, and I said, no. I said, this is a door that God opened, and if God opened this door for you to speak, God's going to be faithful to you as you begin to speak. And I just began to speak faith, and I gave her about 60 seconds of just machine gun faith. I mean, I was on a roll. I was boom, boom, boom. I mean, I was just going for it, and I was feeling so good on the inside. And whenever I finished, I was like, man, I know she's just going to be like, amen, hallelujah. And she looked at me after I finished that, and she said, is this some kind of Jedi mind trick? And man, I started laughing because I saw myself, a little short green man with long ears, saying, yes, I'm Pastor Yoda. Faith I give you, little one. Faith I give you. You know, I'll say, no, this is not a Jedi mind trick. This is faith. This is Christianity. This is living with hope and joy and peace. This is living the life of the Spirit. See, if Jesus is powerful enough to give you a new destination, then he's also powerful enough to give you a new direction. And Jesus said, I came so that you might have life and that you might live that life more abundantly. You see, you have to live abundantly until you enter eternity. Don't simply wait back for your new destination one day, because God wants to give you a new direction today. God wants to change the way that you talk. He wants to change the way that you think. He wants to change the way that you live. And you need to learn today what it is to live abundantly, so that whenever you step into eternity, you say, I've already got experience living in the Spirit. I've already got experience living this kind of life. I've already got experience because I spent my life living abundantly until I stepped into eternity.
That is so good, all except for the description of Yoda. But that's okay. It's all right. We're going to watch those videos again. Our scripture urges us to approach life with a specific way of thinking, a specific mindset. And mindset has two basic parts. It has two basic parts. And the first is this: focus. Focus. What you focus on, you will gravitate towards. What you focus on, you will gravitate towards. This is not going to surprise you, but I have a really hard time riding a bicycle. Very, very difficult time. In fact, one of the only like major scars I have on my body, because I'm not very athletic, so there's not many opportunities, is a knot that I gained from trying to learn how to ride a bicycle. It's still on my head somewhere. Okay, so I'm not very good at the whole bicycle thing, but I remember after I had learned a little bit more, and we would go on family bike rides around our driveway, because our driveway was that big, out in the woods, and I can remember that it was very important to keep your eyes focused straight ahead. Very important, right? Why? Because if you start looking at your brother or your sister, you start looking at the dog, you start looking at the raccoon on the fence, you start looking around you, what's going to happen? You're going to veer off towards it. You're going to end up in a ditch, and then you're going to have another scar, right? Yeah. And isn't that a perfect picture of our life, too? The Bible tells us that we need to fix our eyes on Christ. Yeah. fix our eyes on Jesus. And I can look back at seasons of my life where I decided to fix my eyes on my problems, while I decided to fix my eyes on solutions that weren't Jesus, when I decided to fix my eyes on something else, and it always seemed my life just kind of derailed at that point. Has that been your experience? We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. But why do we have to fix our eyes on Jesus? The scripture goes on to say, because he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Another one says, author and finisher of our faith. Now, that's a very important thing, because the pioneer, in most cases, is not usually the settler, is not usually the perfecter. Those are two different roles. The person who authors the book isn't the editor. They aren't the perfecter. They aren't the person who takes that second step. And so in our world, in our mindset, sometimes we can just see Jesus as the doorway. But see, the Bible says that he wants us to take on his yoke. And the yoke is something that links you to someone else. It's what they used to put over two oxen, or two goats, or two cows, or two of something. And who are we linked to? We're linked to Jesus. He's not just the doorway. He's the pathway. He's the life way. He's everything. So when we say we have to fix our eyes on him, when we fix our eyes on him, our mindset comes into proper alignment and we're able to move forward. The second part is perspective. We have to understand that we're not there yet. We aren't there yet. You cannot get disappointed with yourself and down on yourself to the point of quitting because you aren't there yet. You can look around this place, and everybody looks really put together. Everybody looks really great. And everybody in here is dysfunctional in one way or another. Some of us hide our dysfunction better than others, but we're still dysfunctional, because we haven't become perfect as God is perfect yet. We haven't gotten everything right yet. You know, that's why I love, I think it's the book of James where it says, I am writing this, brothers, so that you will not sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate. See, we all know that we're not perfect. We have to have perspective. And perspective comes from where you stand, where you're planted. That's why eyewitness testimony is one of the most unreliable forms of evidence. And the reason is because from where you stand, your perspective will be different in every case, right? Where you are changes your perspective. Anybody ever do the corn maze? There's a great corn maze out in some place around here, and I love corn mazes. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I'm lost forever in there, but nobody can bother me, and so it's great. I love the corn maze. As an aside, one time Philip made the entire youth group go to the corn maze at 5:00 in the morning. I still haven't really gotten over that, so could you just pray that I bring forgiveness into my heart? Because I can remember walking around, and it was like 55 degrees, and we were in a corn maze, and I was like, I'm not even good at mazes. He knows I'm never going to get out of here with any, anyway. But anyway, what do you need when you're in a maze? What's everybody look for? They look for the tower, right? Because you can stand up on top of that tower that's in the middle of the maze, and you can look. And you can get an idea of where you are and where you're going. And in life, there's mountains and there's valleys. There's times where you can see and there's times when you can't see. But we have to trust God's perspective, because the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So if we believe that a higher thought, a higher view, a higher position will give us a better perspective, whose perspective should we choose? That's why we used to say all the time, whose report will you believe? And people would say, we believe the report of the Lord. We believe that our family is whole, even though we're facing brokenness. We believe that we will be healed, even though we are facing a diagnosis. We believe that we can one day have peace, even though our hearts are disturbed. We choose to have God's perspective, which allows us to have His mindset. So mindset breaks down into focus and perspective. And you know, this is one of the most interesting parts about perspective, is that you can gain more perspective by being focused and planted. See, it's God's will for everybody in this place that you be planted in a local church. It doesn't have to be this church, but it needs to be a church, right? Planted in a local church. That we be planted in God's word, and we say it all the time. It's not enough to just read the Bible occasionally. You need to make it a part of your existence, an important part of your life. We have to be planted deep into God's word, and then we need to be planted in His presence. To intentionally cultivate God's presence in our life, not just on Sunday mornings, even though that's a great thing. Showing up on Sundays, I would call the shortcut to jump-starting your week. Being able to be in God's presence all together, but we have to be planted in His presence. See, our new day means that we are planted next to streams of living water. But growth takes time. And the longer that you stay planted, the longer that you stay focused, the taller you will grow and the more perspective you will gain. And that'll lead us to a new mindset. It's a new day. And that day's new destination inevitably will give you a new direction. And that new direction requires a new mindset.
There's no doubt. And so it takes us to the third point, and that is that our new direction prompts a new declaration in our hearts. Our new direction. We've got our new destination. We're moving in a new direction of abundant life. We're focused with God's perspective and mindset. And now our new direction is going to prompt, it's going to compel a new declaration to come out of our mouth. This is what it says in our text there in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls." Let's look at a couple more declarations in the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms in 91 verse 2, it says, "This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him." Psalm 27:13, David says this, "I remain confident of this one thing. This is my declaration. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I don't have to wait to see the goodness of God in eternity. I don't have to wait to see the goodness of God in heaven. I can see the goodness of God right here in my day-to-day life. I can see the goodness of God right here in Bossier City, Louisiana. I can see the goodness of God right here in my family situation. You see, it's a new day. And that new day demands a new declaration, and it demands a declaration of victory. You see, you could have lived your whole life. You could have lived your whole life with a declaration of defeat, with a declaration of discouragement, with the declaration of despair, with the declaration of fear, always talking about how you never catch a break, how everything's always working against you, always worried about what's going to come in the future. You could live your whole life with the declaration of being afraid and stressed out and worried about things that haven't even happened to you yet and probably never will happen to you. You can live your whole life in that state. But you see, whenever it's a new day and you've got a new destination and you're moving in a new direction, that means you must have a new declaration in your mouth, and that is a declaration of confidence. It's a declaration of faith. It's a declaration of who God is. It's a declaration of who God has called you to be, and that new declaration will confirm that new direction, and it will put you on an even better path to the destination that God has waiting for you in the future.
You know, this message really is for all of us. Some of you may have been in here and you've been saved for 20 years. Some of you have been saved for about 20 minutes, right? But it's for all of us. I actually gave my heart to the Lord when I was 3 years old, and I've lived every day since then with a vivid understanding of my destination. I was compelled to think about eternity a lot, but it wasn't until I applied this declaration to my life that some things started breaking off of me. This declaration piece isn't just an add-on. It's not just a kind of a shouting part of the sermon where you can get really excited. Declaration can direct your life in the right path. It can move you to where you're not just thinking about your destination, but you're now jump-starting and moving there in some new areas of your life. You know, just a minute ago, I was talking about how we're all dysfunctional. Whenever we find dysfunction in our life, a declaration is a great answer to that dysfunction. It's a great answer to say, I see how things are right now, but this is how I declare them to be for the future. And that's what happened in my life. I was dealing with depression and anxiety and just really not feeling like I would ever be able to measure up to anybody. And nobody would have thought that from the outside because I was really, really successful. But see, the lie doesn't depend on your circumstance. The enemy tells you the same lie, no matter if you're super successful or if you're, in the eyes of the world, a complete failure. He wants you to believe that your identity is wrapped up in what you do and who knows about it and how you feel and how you look and all of those different things. But a declaration can set you free. It can set you free from what he's saying to you in your life. Because I found that when the enemy would come to me and he would say, you're not good enough, I would say, I am everything that he says I am. When he would tell me the future's bleak for you, I'd say, no, he said I have a future and a hope. He said that he's already prepared good works for me to do, and that if I'll just get in line with him, I'll have a chance to do them. He would come to me and he would say, destiny, everybody thinks that you're this. And I'd say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if 10,000 fall to my left or 10,000 fall to my right. I will stand because I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the first and not the last. I'm the daughter of a king. Today, miracles will happen. Today, divine connections will happen. Today, no matter what happens, he's going to be with me. See, a declaration enters into the hell of your life and brings heaven.
Come on.
Because the truth is this, is that God doesn't just have a heaven as a destination for your future. He wants to use you to bring heaven to earth. He wants to use you to see blind eyes open, to see lame people stand up and walk, to see people who've been crippled emotionally through the battles of life to be healed. See, we all have such a great future. We all have such a great destination. And if we follow that direction, man, our lives can be different. But it starts with a declaration. And you know, today, you may be thinking, Destiny, you don't know about my dysfunction. If I started saying declarations over my dysfunction, I'd just have declarations in my life. I'd start on Monday, and we'd go 40 hours a week just declaring over my dysfunction. You don't have to deal with all of it. You can start where you are, and you can start simple. And that's why I'm so excited. Philip has written some declarations for us.
I want you to write these down today. Capture them on the back of your welcome card, or maybe you want to write them down in your phone, because I want to challenge you to make these declarations over your life all week long this week. And as Destiny was sharing, struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression, struggling with all these things in college, I made her a couple note cards that she taped onto her mirror, and she began to make those declarations. And ironically enough, so much of what she just said that just came out of her were the exact word-for-word declarations. That's some 15 years ago, and the power of the declaration is still on the inside. And there is power in your words. There's power in what you speak into your life. And so we have to get these five declarations today. I believe these five declarations will help you go the distance. And they all come right out of 1 Peter 1:8, as we just read. The first declaration is this: I love God. You need to tell yourself every day, I love God. I love God with all of my heart. I love God with all of my heart, because when you say I love God, it will remind you of how much God loves you. It will remind you of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And because of his great sacrifice, when you say I love God, you'll say, I want to love God the way that he loved me, so I'm willing to give him everything that I am. I love God. It's a declaration. Here's a second declaration. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God with my son. I trust God with my marriage. I trust God with my business. I trust God with my future. I trust God with my problems. I trust God with my dysfunction. I trust God. I trust God in every area of my life. It's a powerful declaration. The enemy is always trying to get you to stop putting your trust in him and start putting your trust in yourself, because he knows that you will fail yourself and he can cripple you and hold you down. But anybody that continues to put their trust in God, the enemy can't hold them down. The enemy can't cripple them, because they're putting their trust in the one who has the ability to continue to move you forward in every area of your life. Say that all week long. I trust God. Number three, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. In the midst of my pain, I will rejoice. In the midst of my trial, I will rejoice. Things are falling apart on my left. Things are struggling on my right, but I will stand and I will rejoice, because I serve a God who's faithful. I serve a God who's powerful. I serve a God who is able. I serve a God who's available to hear my cry. I serve a God who's able to reach down and pull me up out of the pit of my despair and heartbreak. I serve a God who's able to heal my body. So I will stand today and I will rejoice, because I have an inexpressible joy on the inside. Here's the fourth declaration. God will reward me. God will reward me. God will reward. He is the rewarder. Hebrews 11 tells us that he is a rewarder. And you need to know that God will reward you with blessing. God will reward you with miracles. God will reward you with a way that where there seemed to be no way. God will continually reward you with favor. He'll reward you with blessing. He'll reward you with breakthrough. God is a rewarder. And you have to testify and declare every day, God will reward me. I'm going to see it happen. Surely I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, in my situation and in my circumstance. Here's the fifth declaration that you need to make. That is, heaven is my destination. Because it doesn't matter what you're facing, you can close your eyes and you can know that these trials are only going to last for a moment. I wasn't created for this world. I wasn't created for this place. I was created for eternity. I was created to live with God. And it doesn't matter how tough it gets today. It doesn't matter how hard it may get tomorrow. I have a declaration, and that declaration is, heaven is my destination. And I will put my focus and my perspective with a heavenly mindset, and I will be able to make it through whatever I face. See, there's power in your declaration. And you have to start, as Destiny said, start where you are. Start with that declaration. Speak this over your family. Speak this over your life. Speak these declarations, and it'll start getting down on the inside of you. And where there used to be a declaration of fear, now all of a sudden that fear is not going to be making sense anymore, because you're speaking the declaration of faith. And whenever you feel that fear rising up, you say, no, I've already spoke the declaration of faith over my life today. I stood in the mirror and I told myself today that I love God. I told myself that I trust God. I've told myself that I will rejoice regardless of my situation or my circumstances. I've told myself today that God will reward me. I believe it with all that is in me in heaven is my destination. So there is no place for fear. There is no place for worry. There is no place for doubt. There is no place for unbelief. There is no place, because I've got a declaration that's confirming my direction, that's carrying me to my future destination, and I will forever be changed by that. You need a declaration today. You need a declaration in your mouth. Take these things. Say them over your life 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day, whatever it has to take, until your new declaration gets down on the inside of you. It's not a Jedi mind trick. This isn't just positive thinking. This is faith. This is Christian living. This is hope. This is joy. This is peace. This is the abundant life that Jesus died so that you could have. Come on, why don't you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.